Okay, so we're reading from two psalms this morning, Psalm 149 and Psalm 150. And if you've got one of the church Bibles, it starts on page 510. So Psalm 149 and 150. Thanks. Too short. Psalm 149. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of his faithful people. Let Israel rejoice in their Maker. Let the people of Zion be glad in their King. Let them praise his name with dancing and make music to him with timbrel and harp. For the Lord takes delight in his people. He crowns the humble with victory. Let his faithful people rejoice in this honor and sing for joy on their beds. May the praise of God be in their mouths and a double-edged sword in their hands to inflict vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with fetters, their nobles with shackles of iron, to carry out the sentence written against them. This is the glory of all his faithful people. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of trumpet. Praise him with the harp and lyre. Praise him with timbrel and dancing. Praise him with the strings and pipe. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
I was comfortable sitting there. I forgot I had to get up. Just while I'm sorting things out, that's the Byron Bay Lighthouse. I thought I could get a shot of the sunrise with the colour in the sky. The sun would be to the right, but with the light looking like the sun. Didn't work. There's no sunrise. How about we pray as we come to think about the last five psalms, and also pray for Andrew, who's giving last week's sermon over at Ithaca today. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us your word. Thank you for what we can look at this morning. Lord, we praise you for all that you are and all that you've done. And Lord, as we think about your word in the psalms, please grow our appreciation of all that you have done. Pray for Andrew as he preaches at Ithaca. Pray for that congregation. We pray that they too would grow in their trust in you and in their praise of you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's nice to be complimented, don't you think? Even if it's a small compliment, like someone saying the lawn looks nice after you've spent half your day Saturday mowing it, it's nice to be complimented. Or when your boss pats you on the back and goes, good job. Nice to be acknowledged like that, to be praised, to be recognised rather than taken for granted and forgotten. When was the last time that you complimented someone? When was the last time you praised anybody? Some of us are quick to do that, very quick to praise and to compliment. Some of us aren't so quick. So when was the last time? Let me make it a bit easier for you if you're struggling. It may have been something that you said to someone's face, as in to them, about what they've done, or so you said something in their hearing, or it might be something you've said indirectly. You might have praised your mum's cooking to someone else. That's still praise. We can praise without actually speaking directly to the person, can't we? We can praise someone by acknowledging their achievements or by declaring how capable they are. So if you've had someone do a great carpentry job at your home, you might commend them to someone else. You've just praised them, complimented them. Is that making it easier? Have you thought of someone you've complimented or praised? Hopefully you have by now. Praise, it can be like advertising to other people, advertising the merits of a person. Words of admiration, commendation, approval, to extol, to praise. It all kind of blurs and overlaps into the same thing. We can sing someone's praises, literally sing their praises, or we can sing someone's praises without actually singing, just with our words. We can sing their praises. This morning, we've praised God by actually singing. But then when you think about it, you may have sung without really praising God. Keep thinking about what it means to praise, what it means to compliment, because when you look at Psalm 146, Psalm 147, 148, 149, 150, these five psalms, they're a call to us to join the psalmist in praising the Lord, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. You might be the type of person who's real quick to praise, and so these psalms are for you, because they'll direct your eager praise towards God, encourage you to praise God for who he is, to give you words that praise God for what he's done. You might be the kind of person who's a little more slow to praise or to compliment. Well, these psalms are for you because they make it easy. They give you the words to say. They give you words, put words in your mouth and on your tongue so that you can praise God with the psalmist's words. Keep thinking about how we praise God and keep thinking about why we ought to, because that's what these psalms do for us. As we work our way through the psalms this term, we're consciously thinking about how we read the psalms as Christians. And so Andrew set us off down that track last week. He took us into Psalm 1 and Psalm 2 as the introduction to the whole of the 150 psalms. And today we've done the engineer's thing. We've gone to the other end. We're looking at the end of this book of psalms. Each of the psalms, they're part of God's word. We regard them as God's word to us. God's speaking to us, that means. And as God's word to us, the psalms, they will point us to Jesus. Andrew pointed this out last week, but in Luke 24, when Jesus talks about himself at the end of chapter 24, he says that he's fulfilled everything that's written about him in the Old Testament, but he actually specifies in the law, the prophet, and the psalms. So as we're reading through the psalms as a Christian, we're thinking, how does this point us to Jesus? How does it show us who Jesus is? But the psalms are different to much of the rest of the Bible because, yeah, they are poetry and they're intended or able to be sung. The psalms have their original authors, and as we read the psalms, we hear the original author's words as they speak not just about God, but they speak to God. We have their words of praise. In the psalms, you've got words of lament. You've got words of pain, words of joy, words of thanks, and more words of praise. And as we read the psalms as a Christian, the psalmist kind of models to us how to speak about God and how to speak to God. The psalmist gives us words to speak. And so the psalms, yeah, they're God's word to us, and they can become our words to God. And to add one more layer to this, if you think about Jesus, there's psalms that Jesus actually spoke. So the obvious one is Psalm 22, when Jesus was on the cross, he said, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" He's quoting Psalm 22. So in other words, Jesus is making the psalm his words as he actually fulfills every word in that psalm, which just stretches your mind to think about how that works. So as you consider the psalms, these are words that Jesus knew, words that Jesus spoke, and words that Jesus fulfilled. And as you think about that, yeah, it makes us appreciate as Christians, these are words that are relevant to us, even today. So as Christians, we read the psalms as God's word to us, showing us Christ, and we read the psalms as our words to God as we strive to keep living for Christ. That's all the kind of stuff we covered last week, but you'll see in the sermon outline, I've tried to come up with a way of thinking about any psalm that will help you think through it as God's word to us and our words to God. So there's that sermon outline is just a kind of a generic pattern, hopefully, and maybe it'll improve as the weeks roll by. So as we come to consider Psalm 146 to 150, the last five psalms, let's start thinking about the first as God's word to us. And we need to filter these psalms through their original context, through Israel, what they were hearing at the first time when it was written. And we also need to filter it through the rest of the Psalter, the rest of the 150 Psalms that make up the Book of Psalms. In terms of context in the Psalter, here we are at the end, the last five Psalms. There's 150 Psalms broken into five books. We're looking at the last five Psalms. The Psalm I quoted just before, this is like a bit of an aside to get you thinking too about the way we see the Psalms in our page in the Bible. The Psalm I quoted from Psalm 22, if you look at it and how it appears in the NIV, this is just a photo of my Bible sitting on my lap. You look at the title of Psalm 22 and there's that funny little icon next to Psalm 22. That's a nothing. That's the NIV editors or translators, they thought four dots would be nice to put next to the title of the Psalms. Then next to that, you've got the Psalm number, the chapter. The chapters and verses, they were added. They're not part of the Bible. They're added a long, long, long time ago and make it a whole lot easier for us to find the same, you know, same words in the Bible very quickly. But you'll notice there's a little footnote on Psalm 22 on the title. You go down the bottom of your page and it tells you that the numbering in the Hebrew is different. Our, if you like, this bit, the shaded bit, verse 0 is there, verse 1. In other words, when you look at the Psalms, quite a few of them will have a title. It's there in the Hebrew, it's there in the original. We're meant to read that. And as you read that title, it helps you understand what it is you're looking at. So this one that you've got in front of you there, there it is. It says it's for the director of music. Now, I don't know who that was or who, whether it's one person or whatever, but it's saying this psalm was actually written for the director of music and it was originally sung to the tune of Doe of the Morning. You know that one? I don't. And it was originally, and it also says it's a psalm of David. So whether he actually penned it or whether as we read it, we're thinking of David and these may be words that express a time that David went through. In other words, someone's come through these 150 psalms and put things like this in. Editor's notes, under God's hand, under God's sovereignty, this part of God's word has these little extras that explain bits for us. There's another one. Have I got Psalm 18 there? It's a real, real, real long one. For the director of music of David, so it's a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, he sang to the Lord the words of this song, when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul, he said, it's giving you context. Psalm 18 then is an easy psalm for us to read because we know the original context. We know this is the words that may have been David's when this situation happened. But you look at these, this little aside we've gone on, it's starting to show you that this is an ordered book. The 150 psalms have been ordered purposefully. As you look through the headings on the psalms, they're not all of David. Some are of the sons of Korah, some are of Asaph, some are of Solomon. Some, there's at least one from Ethan the Ezraite, and there's one from Moses, Psalm 90, a prayer of Moses. Now, is that Moses' actual prayer preserved and recorded, or are we just to read that psalm thinking of Moses? The headings or the verse zeros in the psalms help us appreciate that these 150 psalms have been edited, ordered, put in a strategic order purposefully. And so when you come to Psalm 146, 147, 148, 149, 150, well, we don't have any heading over these. But there's another pattern to notice. When you look at our five psalms today, they each start with praise the Lord. And again, your footnotes will tell you the word is hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's the word that we use in church. We probably won't use it at work tomorrow. It's a word that means praise God. Two words, but praise Yahweh. Hallelujah. It's a Bible word. It's a word that makes it into songs that we sing. It's a word that's not hard to understand. It's just saying praise Yahweh, praise the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Not only do each of these psalms start with hallelujah, have another look, they end with it as well. So five psalms at the end of five books of 150 psalms, five psalms with praise to God at the beginning and end. Psalm 22 didn't end with hallelujah, neither did Psalm 18. Psalm 145, before these last 5 years, it doesn't end with praise the Lord. Someone, an editor under God, has grouped these 5 hallelujah psalms together and put them at the end of the book. It's purposeful. It's deliberate. Can you see how the Psalter is ordered like that? Here we are at the end of the 5th book with 5 praise psalms. It's no accident. And there's more order as you look through these 5 books, more ways in which we're focused on praising God. I know this is getting a little bit heavy, but if you look back through the books, if you come to Psalm 106, that's the end of the 4th book, or at the end of the 3rd book in Psalm 89, or at the end of the 2nd book in Psalm 72, or at the end of the 1st book in Psalm 41, each of the first 4 books ends with a variation on a call to praise the Lord. So the 1st book ends with praising God as God, because he's God. The 2nd book ends with seeing the whole earth filled with his glory as you're praising God. The 3rd book ends with praising Yahweh forever. And the 4th book kind of rolls it all together and says, praise God of Israel forever and ever. Let all people praise him. It's purposeful. It's deliberate. This is a book that urges us to praise our Lord and God, the God of the Old Testament, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Last week, Andrew took us through Psalm 2, 1 and 2 as the introduction to the Psalms. And I read Psalm 2 again at the start of church to get you thinking about it. There's other ways in which this book links together. The end of Psalm 2 ends with that call on the kings of the earth, or the people of the earth, to acknowledge God, to praise God. And then you have 148 psalms that tell you why you should praise God, how you should praise God. At the end of each book, it says to praise God. And at the end of the 5 books, there's 5 psalms saying praise God. It's very purposeful. Have a look at Psalm 146. Just look at verse 3. So it starts by saying, hallelujah, praise God. Verse 3 says, do not put your trust in princes, in human beings who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. Notice the little echoes of where we started back in Psalm 2. The nations conspiring, the nations turning their back on God. And here at the end, it's saying, don't trust in humans. Don't trust in human rulers. If you've ever let yourself become distracted from living for God, then the Psalms are God's word to you. If you're not living for God, then the Psalms are for you. It's God speaking to you, calling you to turn to God, to look to him, to praise God. If you're battling with each day, trying to live for Jesus, struggling to do that, weighed down by this or that, if you're feeling like the enemy's all around, then the Psalms put words on your tongue to praise your Maker, to praise God. The Psalms can be your word to God, as well as God's word to us. So the Psalter, this ordered book, it's purposely compiled. For Israel, it should have pointed them back to God. And yes, as we read each of the Psalms, read the Psalm for itself, by itself, for what it is. But keep in mind, where does this fit in the flow of the whole 150 Psalms? On the bottom of the sermon outline and on the screen, there's a bit of a plot of how the 5 books might fit together. It's kind of a blend between two, because people come up with different ideas. Yes, there is order to the Psalms, but maybe we're a bit more obsessed with trying to find it, and so we find different patterns. But at very least, you can see there is a flow from David through Solomon, the exile, this hope, and then the consummation, the hope of the day of the Lord. The Psalms have that kind of flow through them. Different people describe it in different ways, but maybe that's us being a little bit more obsessed with it. But it does help us to appreciate there's order to this. And so as we attempt to read each psalm in its original context in the Psalter, we're also thinking about, what did this mean for Israel? How does Jesus fulfill it? How does it point to Jesus? And then what does it mean for us as God's word today? So as you look at Psalm 146, just pick up where we left off. We left off at verse 5. Keep reading from verse 6. It points us back to God as ruler and king. So verse 6 of Psalm 146, he is the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. He remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow. But he frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There's this reminder through Psalm 146, perhaps for Israel when they doubted God's sovereignty. The psalmist lifts their heads up, makes them look to God, reminds them of God's character, reminds them of God's faithfulness, and declares that God reigns, God is king. Psalm 147 just picks up on a similar note. So Psalm 147, verse 1, praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise him. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted, binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars and calls them each by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. The Lord sustains the humble, but casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with grateful praise. Make music to our God on the harp. And the rest of Psalm 147 into Psalm 148 keeps calling on Israel to praise God because he keeps his promises. He's faithful. He works to save his people. And then you come into Psalm 149, it calls Israel to praise God because God will deal with their enemies and crown his people with victory. The Psalms, at this point, at the end of the book, they're looking ahead. And with our New Testament perspective, we can see that these Psalms look ahead to the day Jesus came, God's King, the day Jesus dealt with sin and death. But then they look still further ahead to Jesus' return, to when we'll see all nations gather around God in heaven, praising him, singing his praises. And these Psalms, these five Psalms, they're a call for us to praise God. So now have a look at Psalm 150. I know we're kind of rattling through, but there's only so much time. As we think about Psalm 150, think about this one as our words to God, our prayer to God, our praise to God. When you look at Psalm 150, we've already seen that it opens and closes with hallelujah, with praise God or praise the Lord. And you'll see every line does start with praise as well. But it's not praise Yahweh, it's hallel God, hallel him. But it's praise nonetheless. The last five psalms, they kind of climax with praise, and then Psalm 150 is like the climax of praise. As you read any of the psalms, it's often helpful just to break it into sections, to think about it in sections. If you think about the first little bit there, it talks about where to praise God, to praise him in his sanctuary. And for an Israelite or a Jew reading that, you'd imagine they'd think of praising God in the temple, wouldn't you? Except that as Christians, we know that, well, Jesus finished the temple. When he died on the cross, the curtain in the temple tore open. Jesus rebuilt the temple in 3 days. It's him. So as a Christian, we ponder, what does he mean when pray? And it goes on. When you read the Psalms and you think it's a little bit tricky, read the next verse, because this parallelism often helps you out. So praise God in his sanctuary. If you don't understand Hebrew poetry, keep going. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. It's not so much about praising God where he is. It's praising God in all his glory. Praising God for who he is. Praising God surrounded by all his glory. It's got these, you know, kind of pictures like from Ezekiel in the background, where Ezekiel sees this huge entourage moving around. Or like the vision John sees at the end of Revelation, a vision of the throne room with God in the centre and everything praising him. So praise God in all his glory. Verse 1 of Psalm 150 invites us to praise God in all his power, all his glory, which links into verse 2, why praise. The next section, verse 2 onwards, tells us why to praise God for his acts of power, for his surpassing greatness. It's not giving us a lot to go on, is it? But remember, this is at the end of 150 psalms that unpack all that God has done, all his greatness, all his power. This is like the summary. Even if you just look back over Psalm 146, 47, 48, and 49, you'll see the acts of his power spelt out. there's your motivation to praise God. Verse 2, praise God for all his acts of power. Praise God for his surpassing greatness. We can read the rest of the Psalms to appreciate that. But as we, as Christians, read, we know that the cross of Christ is where we see God's power fully and completely. And so we're thinking about God's greatness and his power and his victory in the cross as we read these verses and as it motivates us to praise God. We think about the miracle that sinful human beings can be forgiven and be part of God's family. So as we read Psalm 150, the psalmist's words, yeah, they become our words, but we say them, we pray them through Jesus and all that he's done. Our praise and our declaration of God's goodness keeps coming back to what God's done for us in Jesus. The next little section is the longest, perhaps, verses 3 to 5. It's sort of the how to praise, and this section tells us how to praise. It's basically saying, with everything you've got. So it lists the trumpet, the harp, the lyre, with dancing, with strings, with pipe, with cymbals, with resounding cymbals. Remember, this is poetry. This is imagery. It's saying, don't leave anything out. Praise God with everything you've got. Maybe it makes you think of David when they brought the ark into Jerusalem and he's dancing around with all the joy and the enthusiasm. Praise God with everything you have, as boldly and as publicly as you're able to do. Declare God's praises in the most blatant and biggest way. And so as we think about this, make them our words, we're thinking, well, when I'm at work tomorrow, I won't hold back. I'll bring out the cymbal, not literally. But praise God, praise who he is. Declare how great he is at work tomorrow. This really short psalm encourages us to praise God, tells us where to praise God in all his glory, why to praise him because of his power and his works, tells us how, well, with everything that you've got. And the last verse tells us who should praise God. Everything that has breath, anything that breathes should praise God. Not just the Jews, not just Israel, every nation, people from everywhere, everyone who draws breath ought to praise God. And so Psalm 150 closes out the five books of the Psalms, pulling everything together, directing praise to God and calling us to join in that praise. Remember how we started today just by thinking about how nice it is to receive a compliment and how yuck it is to be ignored, unnoticed. Some of us are really quick to praise and to compliment. Some of us need a bit of a push or a kick. The book of the Psalms gives us all the reason we need to praise God, motivates us to praise God. It's God's word to us, explains everything that God's done for us, shows what God's done for us. But then it's also our words to God. It puts the words on our tongue so we can praise God with everything that we have. So this week, I reckon, yeah, read a few more Psalms. Read them as God's word to us, pointing us to Jesus. Pray them as your words to God and your praise to God. And I'll start by praying for us now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the way that you teach us through your word. We thank you for this amazing part of it. We thank you for the Psalms. Lord, please keep reminding us of your power and your mighty acts. Above all, though, we praise you and we thank you for forgiveness and new life in Jesus. We ask that you would use us this week to bring praise and glory to you as we open our mouths and as we declare how good you are to family, to friends, and to people we don't even know. Lord, we ask that we will be praising you in everything this week. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.